while the assumption heading into this year was that the state's bipartisan redistricting commission would be done crafting new federal and state legislative boundaries long before this fall's election, well, it's December and the group is back at it, meeting on Thursday in Albany to get to work on drawing new lines for the 2024 elections to the State Assembly, which had its latest district maps drawn by the state legislature, tossed out by a court earlier this year. To discuss the task ahead, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room in the studio by Charlie Nesbitt, a former Assembly Minority Leader and now the Vice Chair of the state's Redistricting Commission. Welcome to the show, Commissioner.
Well, good to be with you, David. It's been a while since I've been interviewed on the radio for anything, so it's an interesting event for me.
Well, we're glad that you made the time, and we're speaking on Thursday afternoon, a few minutes really after you convened your meeting across the street in the Legislative Office Building, and at that meeting you unveiled one set, and one is important here, a set of possible assembly lines as opposed to competing plans from the Democratic and Republican commissioners, as was the hallmark of the commission in the past. What was the process of crafting these boundaries, and how did we emerge with just one?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because we got very close to having one map within the constitutional limits that exist before last year's election, or this year's election before last year's, I guess that all occurred this year after our deliberations.
Yeah, time has no meaning anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is that we got very close, and then things fell apart right at the end. And I would go back and say there were a lot of circumstances that caused that to happen. Initially, we didn't get funded. We were at work for about a year, almost a year and a half. At least I was. I was appointed, I think, in January of 20. And we were at work for a long, long time before we got funded, which meant that we didn't get a lot done in that time frame because we couldn't hire staff. We didn't have any assets.
Right.
Then, because of COVID, the census data was late. So trying to get the work done and get the work with the census data, we waited until well into the fall, months and months after we would have normally had that information. So it was all compressed. But also I think everything we did was precedential. So it's more difficult going through it for the first time.
Right, because we're breaking new ground.
We're breaking new ground. We have to have, you know, do the bylaws. We have to constitute ourselves. We have to decide what our leadership looks like. All these things that may or will likely be a one-time situation, or at least a starting point for a commission in the next census or after the next census. And then I think they're also, at least especially toward the end, the spirit of bipartisanship broke down. And it was not, I guess at this point we're moving forward. I'm not going to cast aspersions on any individual or people, but it broke down. And that resulted at a couple of different junctures of us, instead of putting forward one map to be considered, we put forward two. And by doing that, it's inherently confusing because the public comes in to comment, and they and this happened a number of times, they didn't know whether to comment on the Democratic map or the Republican map or even necessarily which was which. So and I think that's was appropriately criticized. We needed to have a product, a work product that the public could look at and criticize and not be confused over. And we finally got that today.
Well, how did that happen, though? I mean, the dynamic hasn't changed. It's still an evenly split Republican and Democratic commission. There's even some former members. The stakes are still relatively high. It has to do with who's going to be in the assembly.
Hey, so, in some cases, for an elected official, it's an existential thing.
Yeah.
So it all comes to the attitude of individuals involved. Mm-hmm. We have 10 individuals there. They're not the same individuals that we had previously. And without being critical of anybody that was there before, this group has found a way to coalesce and to move forward. So I'm encouraged by that.
Well, so to put it one way, you're singing Kumbaya in chorus together now, at least publicly. But this is the proposed maps. These aren't the final maps.
That's right.
So is there reason to suspect that everyone will be marching to the same beat publicly in the future? Because if we remember back to this commission's history, there were definitely, I remember doing interviews with the former vice chair and the former chair where they would say, yeah, the other guy's great and they've been a pleasure to work with. And I'm pretty sure if I had them on now, they would not say the same things about each other. So how do you keep things going in a positive direction when the stakes are finally what they are with the final maps?
Well, I think starting with a single map is helpful in that regard, because that in itself was an indication of cooperation at a level that had not ever occurred in this commission. So we start with a single map. And then I was reminded in discussing this with somebody else, trying to make an analogy. I never saw a budget that passed without breaking down and everybody walking away. So that potential is there. But I also think that there's a kind of grit and determination in this group that I would say bodes well for us to get an end product. And mutual respect, which is, you know, goes a long way. This is, after all, a kind of a 10-person committee gets to be a little unwieldy. And we, in order to do anything, we have to have 7 votes, which is a high standard. And so the task before us is a difficult one, but we've met the first challenge and come out with a single map. So I think that by itself tells us there's certainly a greater potential here.
Well, for listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Charlie Nesbitt, the vice chair of the state's bipartisan redistricting commission, which put out new assembly lines, a draft proposal for consideration for the 2024 elections, which listeners can find at nyirc.gov. And I've glanced very quickly at these lines, really just sort of, you know, focus on the Capital Region because that's where I live. I'm curious, in making these lines, what sort of consideration, if any, did you give to the lines that the legislature drew for the assembly for 2022? Was there any thought to trying to see if they did a good job and maybe we just rubber stamp that, or were they kind of ignored and you started the process from scratch?
Well, we certainly started from scratch. A lot of this work was we picked up from where we had left off. People have knowledge of the way districts are laid out just because they're there, and you can have knowledge of it. But
nobody's heads aren't buried in the sand.
No, that's right. And so we did not consider the current legislative map as a starting point. We started with the compromise map that we had developed previously that we stopped. You know, we didn't get finished with finished it. And now I've put it out there for public comment. So I know it's going to be, I'm confident that we're going to have significant testimony about the value of the current map and the value of our map in relation to one another. So we'll have to deal with those issues at some point along the way. But that won't be the only interested parties. There'll be other interested parties. And I think we've done a credible job, given the fact that it's by its nature a compromise.
And my understanding is in January you'll start public hearings on these maps. What's the timeline after that for formalizing these? It seems like you have a lot more breathing room than you did previously, but when is the deadline for actually coming up with an agreement? Is there something set in stone either through the courts or?
There is a current timeline set by the court. Hopefully we'll be able to hold to that, but it's later April. I don't remember the day. And that gives us some time to go through the public hearings and then sit down together in negotiating teams and try to work through the various areas of the state, responding to the testimony and but also understanding that the map that's there was in response to previous testimony, the map that we've just put out.
And while you haven't been tasked with this, do you think that the commission, as it's currently constructed, would be capable of putting together new boundaries for the Senate and Congress? Do you think this is a group that could put that together?
Well, I think we're capable of meeting the demands of our mission,
which is the assembly for this purposes.
So yeah, and if we are asked to do something else, this group seems to be a capable one. So the proof will be in the pudding after we get this job done.
And this is not your first time with redistricting. It is your first time in this capacity. How does it compare to the way lines were drawn, at least in your experience as a member of the assembly minority, which wasn't necessarily responsible for drawing the lines, but what was that experience like?
Interestingly, the first day that I was actually leader in the assembly was the day of the vote for the districts as they were drawn in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to that, I spent a lot of time trying to work through some issues with Speaker Silver and his group. This is different in that the districts as they were drawn previously back in the day were really children of the majorities. So as you'll recall, for so many years, there was a Republican majority in the Senate and a Democratic majority in the assembly,
mm-hmm.
and they
both rubber stamped each other's lines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They each drew their own. So this is a different process, and appropriately, it's a balanced group. There have been all these ideas put forward about having a tiebreaker or whatever. It's impossible to put a tiebreaker who doesn't have a bias. I don't know if that person exists. So I think the very best way for this process to work is for the 10 members, the evenly balanced group, to face up to their responsibility and to work through do the difficult work that creates a fair map. And I believe that's in service to the people of New York, and it's deserved by the people of New York.
Ultimately, do you think that in order to get a consensus map for a final map, that members are going to have to essentially hold their nose and sign off on things that they maybe aren't crazy about, or will everyone be happy with this?
You don't have to get past that.
Okay.
Because there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Because there are interests that, be they regional or political or whatever, but there are interests that are represented by the members of the commission. And they are not exactly alike. And when you divide it by 10, there are 10 different opinions on how to do things. So there are going to be compromises if we're going to be successful. But let me point out that there already have been compromises made.
These are the compromise maps.
To get this map out. That's right.
Are you feeling any outward pressure from Republicans who have a vested interest in this? Is Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay in your ear being like, hey, we'd love to get up to 50 members, so really hold a strong line on the way these maps look? Or do you feel like you are able to operate essentially in a vacuum?
Well, there's no such thing as operating in a vacuum, but I will say that my former colleague, Will Barclay, Will and I have spoken a couple of times over the past couple of years and assiduously avoided discussing the maps because the reapportionment. But I'm because I think that it's important, and I believe when he asked me to take this job, he expected me to take responsibility and to do it in a responsible way. That it, I keep using this word, but in response to the constitutional mandate.
Well, we've been speaking with Charlie Nesbitt. He is the former Assembly Minority Leader and a Republican Commissioner to the state's Bipartisan Redistricting Commission, where he serves as the Vice Chair. Charlie, thank you so much for making the time, and good luck.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David.
Is your business, agency, or service interested in delivering your message to more than 24 radio stations statewide carrying Capital Press Room? If so, visit capitalpressroom.org to contact our underwriting team.